When an earthquake hits, there's usually a rush of news stories, photos, and calls for aid. And if it's big enough, like the one in Nepal in April, there's a huge response. Then our attention kind of wanders. But the efforts to rebuild and recover keep going. That's what's happening in Nepal nearly 3 months after its massive quake. Laura Spiro is a radio producer, but she's also the director of a local nonprofit in Nepal, which has been pitching in on the recovery work. She tells this story about building shelters.
Here, look.
The air in the village of Archilbot is thick under the glare of the 2 o'clock sun. 12-year-old Kushal Adhikari is showing me around his house.
All over there is cracks, and most cracks. This house was nice before the earthquake, but it's completely damaged now.
Actually, at first glance, you wouldn't necessarily know that Kushal's house is a teardown. The two-story home has thick wooden beams, and from the yard, its stone-plastered walls still look almost grand.
It isn't damaged outside the house, but it's damaged everywhere inside the house.
Nepal's April 25th earthquake damaged over 600,000 houses, but a huge number of them are still standing, even though they're too dangerous to inhabit. And this is one of the biggest ironies in the monumental reconstruction that Nepal now faces. Hundreds of thousands of homeless people still have houses that still need to be leveled.
We are not sleeping in the house. We'll make a temporary house tomorrow or the day after tomorrow.
This temporary house is a pressing topic of conversation in Nepal, with various groups trying to envision and design a suitable shelter based on cost, durability, and feasibility. What should Kushal's temporary house look like? Ultimately, government and major relief agencies have employed a unified housing strategy, which is to distribute corrugated tin roofing sheets and let people rebuild using local materials and methods. Aid workers say it's the most efficient way to rebuild quickly in Nepal's varied landscape and culture.
We have learned in the humanitarian community that we always have to stand on the local capacity, the local building technique, and that is very diverse.
Jan Erik Krøyer with the Danish Red Cross is in charge of shelter relief for 2,000 homes in Lamjung district.
The idea is that every single household have something left. Maybe a pile of bricks, maybe a pile of stone, maybe some bamboo, maybe some wood. And then these things will go together with a new roof that we are delivering.
But providing those new roofs is a huge undertaking. Tons of tin sheets will have to be transported across treacherous terrain to over 500,000 families. Then there's the issue of space. Some families don't have room to make a shelter because their old houses are still in the way. Another problem is the weather. The monsoon rains have already begun. Deepak Lal Bisigar lives in the district of Parbat. He'd like to rebuild his mud and stone home as an earthquake-resistant house using better materials. But that takes time, and there's no time. We need to get a roof over our heads as fast as possible, Deepak says, using bamboo, wood, whatever we have. Besides, there's no guarantee against another big earthquake, so nobody wants to invest in anything fancy. And another thing, it's planting season, so everybody's too busy in their fields to do any lengthy construction projects now. In the fall, Deepak plans to consult with an engineer about how to build a quake-resistant house. But for now, his old house is neither all the way up or all the way down. Deepak takes me into a room with a tarp stretched across the open roof. Another piece of tin is going to go here. I'm no engineer, I say, but this room doesn't look too sturdy to me. Deepak picks up a hammer and smashes it into a wall. See, he says, it's safe. He's determined that this part of the house is livable. An adjoining room didn't pass, he assures me, and he demolished it himself. Meantime, Kushal has already learned something about what falls down and what doesn't.
There is no cracks because this room is made of wood. And
maybe dreaming up a house is easier if you're 12. And it's an exercise in possibility.
I can imagine I'm looking at the house. It has a bamboo here. And here, too. Here is a door. There is a window. And I'm feeling happy in my imagination.
For The World, I'm Laura Spiro in central western Nepal.